free number. It's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. And let me encourage you, if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, if you agree with Judd and not me, or vice versa, I want to encourage you to call in. We have always welcomed debate on this show. This is not like some right-wing talk shows where there's a screener, and if they don't like what you say, they don't put you on the air. We put everyone on the air, as long as you call up in time, and we want to hear from you. So the toll-free number is 877-528-8255. We'll be right back with the Inside Scoop right after these messages.
Are you connected with Talkstar? Yes.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. All the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. The Bush approval rating hit a new low this week. 39%, less than 40% of America, approve of the job Bush is doing. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this. Everything from the fact that the two most powerful men in the administration, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, chief of staff for Dick Cheney, may be indicted soon for their role in exposing a U.S. covert operative in what I call Traitorgate. It could be the fact that Tom DeLay, who used to run the House of Representatives, has been indicted. It could be the failure of the administration to respond appropriately to Hurricane Katrina. It's a lot of different things, and to talk about them today is my guest. His name is Judd Legum. He's the research director for the Center for American Progress. Judd, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell our listeners, at least tell our national listeners, a little bit about the Center for American Progress and what you do specifically there.
Well, we're a progressive think tank. We try to put out policy ideas on a whole host of issues. We also try to engage in the 24-hour news cycle and see what we can do to shift the debate a little more towards where the facts are, at least as we see them, try to provide a different perspective. And that's really the part that I'm engaged in day-to-day, doing research, providing reporters and the public with information about what's going on in the world.
Do you think the media is doing a better job than they used to do? I mean, it seems like the media back in 02, 03 was giving the Bush administration a complete pass. They would tell us that there may be a mushroom cloud, nuclear weapons in Iraq, and people believed it. Even the New York Times, using Judith Miller reporting, would report these things as if it were true, and later we found out it wasn't true. Are they doing a better job, and is it partly because of folks like you that is making them do a better job?
Well, I don't want to give myself too much credit. I think really what the difference that you see may have a lot to do with Hurricane Katrina, that when you had such a disconnect between what people like Michael Brown, Michael Chertoff were saying on TV on one side of the screen, and then on the other side of the screen, the devastation at the convention center, at the Superdome, I think that really reinvigorated the media, and they are now appear much more willing to ask the tough questions, to go after this administration a little bit more than they have in the past. So I think that might be part of what you're seeing
now. Now, do you think Hurricane Katrina is a new phenomenon where the administration sort of has a disconnect as to what's going on, or is this just an example of things that have gone on in the past? And if so, why is this different? Why has the media caught this disconnect and not prior disconnects?
Well, I certainly don't think it's a new thing. I think there's probably something very much similar that's ongoing today with Iraq, where we're being told one thing by the administration, there's a totally separate reality on the ground. George Bush is giving a press conference and saying the Iraqi troops are really doing a better job, they're in the lead. The next day, the generals go to Congress and say there's only one division that could operate, one brigade that could operate without United States troops. So I think it happens on a whole host of issues. I think what you saw in Katrina was that it was so clear, the disconnect was so clear, not that it wasn't clear the last time, but it was seemingly kind of tipped the balance for the media, at least to a degree. I don't want to go too overboard and say that we're there and we're really have a skeptical media, the kind of media that you'd want to see, but I think it's improving slowly but surely.
Speaking of a non-skeptical media, I want to talk specifically about Judith Miller, the reporter for the New York Times who was released from jail just a few days ago, who has so much information on Scooter Libby, chief of staff for, for Dick Cheney, on what I call Traitorgate. What's interesting is she seems, while I think she's probably telling, well, I hope she's telling the truth to the special prosecutor. If not, she can be indicted for perjury, as you well know. She seems to try to do her own spin to try to protect the administration. I want to know if you agree with me on that and whether you think that reporters, in order to get access to the White House, feel they have to give the White House favorable coverage.
Well, I think that's not how all reporters operate, but I think if you look how Judy Miller operates, you look at the stories she wrote in 2002, 2003, even continuing on to this year, stories that were very much pushing the administration line and what we now know is false intelligence on weapons of mass destruction. So I think she is someone who's really gotten her access and influence because she's shown a willingness to push that line. And I think to a certain extent, when you read her recent commentary today, you can see, you can start to get a little bit of an outline of how she operates.
Well, and I've just seen the letters back and forth between her and Scooter Libby talking about the autumn breeze and all
exactly.
this wonderful poetry. You know, I don't usually think of a reporter writing, I don't want to call them love letters, but they're pretty flowery type things back and forth between administration officials. I thought the role of a press was to be a watchdog. I mean, is the press, I don't know, less watching than they did, say, in the Clinton years or even the Bush and Reagan years before that?
Well, I think it's the problem is, and it's been this way for a long time, it's a very clubby atmosphere in Washington between reporters, between the politicians and the people they cover. They kind of view themselves as all one big group of insiders. And I think that contributes to it when you've got people who are so friendly, and here it is, Miller supposedly covering the story, but really, as we saw from these letters, they have this very close, seemingly personal friendship. It really impacts the way in which the coverage is spun. And I think we sort of paid the price for that in the lead up to Iraq. We paid the price to it on a lot of stories. We're not getting the unvarnished truth.
If you want to join the discussion, I want to encourage you to do so. You don't have to agree. You just have to be heard. Got a question or comment? Call us. Toll free. 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. If you want to write down your comment, go to the website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be reading some of your comments on the air. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Judd if he thinks Rove and Libby could be indicted. We'll be back.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish.
If you give someone a fish.
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, Mr. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, Mr. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learn basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The president's approval rating is an all-time low. Is that deserved? Does he deserve the fact that 61% of America does not approve of the job the president's doing? Toll-free number, 877-528-8255, 877-528-TALK. And my guest is Judd Legum. He's a research director for the Center for American Progress. Now, Judd, just before the break, we were talking about what I call Traitorgate, the outing of a CIA agent, Valerie Plame Wilson, the wife of Ambassador Joel Wilson, who caught the administration a lie about Iraq having nuclear weapons and has paid the penalty by them trying to out his wife. Well, let me ask you the ultimate question, if I can. Do you think Karl Rove and Scooter Libby will be indicted?
I think there's a very good chance of that happening, and here's why. You've got a special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, who really has a reputation of being a totally straightforward guy, very aggressive, but also very fair. And the people that I'm talking to around Washington, what I read in the papers, doesn't seem very likely at all that he would go and put somebody like Judith Miller, a reporter, in jail for 85 days, that he would have gone and bring in somebody like Karl Rove four times, interviewed the president and the vice president, if he didn't have a big case and a few indictments to hand out at the end of this. So that's why I think it's likely this week, next week, we'll have to see that we might see some indictments.
Plus, the grand jury expires October 28th, so he's got to act in a week or two.
Yeah, likely he's going to act... Probably, if something's going to happen, it would probably be this week, would be my guess if I was going to have to bet on it. But I think there always is a possibility that you can extend that grand jury date, go back to the judge and extend the grand jury. So that's an outside chance of that. But this has been going on for 2 years now, so I think most people are expecting this to wrap up.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask this. By the way, tomorrow I have Debate Tuesday. I bring a conservative on the air, and we disagree. So
yeah.
I have all kinds on my show, and I'm going to ask him this question, which I think will be tougher for him than for you. Mm-hmm. But let's get the facts right here. Scott McClellan, in 2003, told the press that he personally spoke with Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, and they both denied any involvement. Categorically. I mean, is that right? Categorically denied any discussion of this.
Yeah, the way this came up was a reporter asked McClellan about whether the president knew whether they were involved. McClellan says he knew they weren't involved. They said, how do you know? And this is how it came up. He said, I went and talked to them personally. So it was a categorical denial. It wasn't a qualified denial. And that's really a separate problem they have, because there's this legal question. Is there going to be indictments? Is there not? I'm speculating, yes. Well, you know, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that there's a serious political problem, which is Scott McClellan stood at the podium. He was speaking for the president and said these people were not involved. And what we know from reading the New York Times over the weekend, what we know for several months now, is that Scooter Libley and Karl Rove had a huge involvement in this.
Now, I don't think there's any reason for Scott McClellan to lie about this. I mean, if they told him, we know that when McClellan doesn't want to say something, he doesn't usually flat out lie. He usually says, it's under investigation and we can talk about it later and, you know, I don't think it's important to discuss. He evades.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that if you look at this like a criminal investigation, which it is, either Scott McClellan was told, yeah, they're involved, but you're required to lie to the American people, or they lied to Scott McClellan. And if they lied to Scott McClellan, then the question comes, did the president know that they were lying to Scott McClellan, or didn't he? And it's very interesting, because if they did this on their own, if they... Scooter Libby and Karl Rove decided to play dirty tricks and didn't tell anyone about it and lied to everyone, including the president, you'd think that this president, who values loyalty so much, would be firing these people. Doesn't that suggest the president actually knew about it and wanted to lie?
Well, I think certainly what we've seen from reporting today, you have a Bloomberg story out this morning, is that there's serious investigations into the role of Vice President Cheney. So we're already getting up to the very highest levels. I think certainly we're going to have to find out, perhaps the special prosecutor Fitzgerald will release a report that can shed some light on Bush's involvement. But I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head that there's a good chance that Scott McClellan wasn't the people he talked to weren't honest with him. But you also have to just remember this was October of 2003. This was before Patrick Fitzgerald was appointed. This was before they knew it was going to be this big investigation. So they may have not been as careful as they're being now. Certainly they weren't as careful as they're being now, where it's total radio silence on this and they refuse to comment. So I think to have that perspective is helpful to figure out why he might go and say something that we now know to be completely not true.
Maybe it's time for Scott McClellan to go before the grand jury.
He probably has already been there. They don't say, not all of them will admit whether they've gone or not, but I think he's probably almost certainly testified.
Let me go to a caller. We've got David from California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark and Doug. I'm looking at an op-ed from columnist Maureen Dowd in yesterday's paper. I don't know if either of you had seen it. It deals with what appears to be the love notes from Harriet Myers to the president.
When you say love notes, are they the kind of things that were between Judith Miller and Scooter Libby, or are they serious? I mean, what do you mean by love notes?
Well, I'll give you the tone, let's say, of one or two of them if you'd like. You know, and I'm sure it's serious, because if you go right now to the New York Times and go to their opinion page, they've never heard of Maureen Dowd. It's being hacked away, but let's see. In June of 2005, make sure you take good long vacation this summer. Last year you only took a couple of weeks. You are pushing yourself way too hard, sir.
Kind of motherly notes, it would seem. I mean, Harriet Myers once called Bush the most brilliant man she ever knew.
Yes.
So it sounds to me like this is a crony who really knows how to toady up, really knows how to brown nose her boss.
She does that. She commends him for being the best torturer that any president ever.
The best torturer. Well, I know he's the best torturer. We can see that in Guantanamo Bay. I just didn't know he was praised for it. Judd, are you aware of these letters?
Well, there were a lot. There were some letters, I think birthday cards specifically, where Harriet Myers would say things like, "You're the best governor ever," you're cool, and I wish your kids would realize how cool you are. And I think the caller might be ready to the problems with the New York Times website. They put all of those columnists, you have to pay $50 a year now to get them.
So I think that
may be the problem he's running into.
She indicates she received them from, of all people, Karl Rove.
Interesting. Wait, who received them from Karl Rove? Harriet Myers?
No, Maureen Dowd.
Oh, Maureen Dowd.
She made her put in a request for correspondence between them and
Wait. So Karl Rove turned over to Maureen Dowd correspondence between Harriet Myers and the president?
Yeah.
Sounds like he may be trying to sabotage his own nomination. I want you to hold on that point, Dave. We've got to go to a break. If you want to call in and join the discussion, it's easy to do. Just pick up the phone, dial toll-free 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Mr. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes, I am.
Mr. Murphy, Ed McMahon. We're starting up... No.
Dreams really do come true.
Dinero.
Yes, Ed McMahon, see.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first ever...
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the neighborhood watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, we just here.
Six, seven, eight.
No tango, Danelle. Neighborhood watch. We're having this neighborhood watch, the first one.
Right. I'll come back.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Start a neighborhood watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders.
I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share with a Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
Let's work together to give every child a chance. Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the low approval rating of George Bush. It's 39%. With Judd Legum. He is the research director for the Center for American Progress. If you want to call in, agree or disagree, your calls are always welcome. Toll free 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We have a caller on the air, Dave from California, who is describing an article by Maureen Dowd about letters between Harriet Myers and the president. You were just telling me during the break, Judd, that you think she's making fun more than the actual letters.
Well, there were letters, and the letters were quite silly. The actual letters she sent, these birthday cards, you're the best governor ever, your daughter should think you're cool. I think what Maureen Dowd is taking those letters, lampooning them, and sort of extending them out in her usual way. But I don't think the ones she's writing about are actual letters.
So, Dave, this may be what she was thinking, but that doesn't mean that that's actually what she wrote.
She says nothing to indicate I'm being flippant. She's
really
writing this as though it's all straight up. And I haven't known her to be, if you have, Doug, that she tends to...
I think she does. She does, I think, tend to be pretty flippant a lot of the time.
I'll tell you this. I don't think Karl Rove would give Maureen Dowd the time of day. So the suggestion that she got them from Karl Rove makes me think that maybe this is all a joke. But it does raise a serious point. We know that Harriet Myers once described George Bush as the most brilliant man she's ever known.
Yeah, I know.
So that suggests to me that either she doesn't get out very much, and she really doesn't know very many people. If she's really telling the truth, maybe she knows three people in her life. That's unlikely given, you know, she was former head of the Texas Bar Association. Or she obviously is just trying to butter up this guy.
It's obvious from these that that's what she's trying to do, but she does it in a very shallow way and often uses language like dude and whatnot. And the one shot went there in September 2005, and all this fuss about that bad girl. No, let's see, August 2005. I have half a mind to come down there myself and chase that witch, Cindy Sheehan, off your property with an injunction.
Yeah, see, I don't think that she actually said that, but I have seen Maureen Dowd be funny in her columns, and I don't want to state it as true, but the intent is there, obviously. This is a woman who feels very indebted to George Bush, and it was interesting is before she was White House counsel for just a few months, right? Before mm-hmm. that, I think she was staff secretary.
Yeah.
What is the job of a staff secretary?
It's actually a pretty important job within the White House. You control the paper flow to the president. So you're in charge of whatever you think the president needs to see, documents, papers, reports. You kind of control that flow, make sure he has what he needs, but not too much. So it's a role, but it's also a role that you put somebody who is very much someone you trust and a loyalist. I think that's what these comments really point out, that this is somebody who's really a true believer in Bush, and it's unclear, is that the kind of person you want on the Supreme Court? Somebody who, no matter what happens, always supports the administration's position, especially when you have cases related to Guantanamo, cases related to the treatment of prisoners all on deck, and certainly more cases in the future coming down the pike.
I wonder whether she really is a true believer. I guess when I look at brown-nosing, when I look at someone who is truly sucking up to their boss, sometimes maybe they're not. Maybe she's just a liar. Maybe she's just full of artifice and is trying to use, you know, oh, you're such a good governor, oh, you're a wonderful president, to get herself ahead. Maybe she's got some agenda we don't know about. I don't know. Maybe that's what the right wing is concerned about.
That could be, you know, and I think that's a possibility. Nobody really knows, probably, except for Harriet herself. It hasn't been my take on it. My feeling is she's someone who's this true believer who really thinks that this is the greatest president, who he's the greatest president, he was the greatest governor, has really devoted a good portion of her career to doing this. And that's the reason why I think you should, you know, it deserves some second thoughts about whether she's the right kind of Supreme Court justice. But, you know, you never know what's motivating people.
We're running out of time in this segment, but the right wing themselves, at least some of them, mm-hmm. have come out against Harriet Myers. And I, some people are saying, well, that's a feint. You know, that's like a false mm-hmm. move. That's to trick Democrats into actually supporting mm-hmm. Harriet Myers. And some Democrats are saying, well, if we oppose her, as I think I'm going to oppose her as I'm learning more about her, couldn't we have something worse? So I want you to address that issue after the break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
Following the tragic events of September 11th, there have been hundreds of violent attacks against innocent Americans.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
Remember, please stop the hate.
We're stronger when we are united.
Remember.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
One nation under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty.
And justice.
For all.
In America, there's either room for everyone or it's not America.
Don't pick the wrong fight.
Let's keep America land of the free.
Stop the hate.
I helped turn my child's public school into a whole new kind of school. One with a curriculum that really motivates kids. One that has extended hours, 6 days a week, year-round. With loads of academic, cultural, and recreational activities. One that has support services, like medical and dental, right there. A school where parents' involvement is encouraged. Where teachers have more time to teach. And students are excited about learning. There's just one problem. My child doesn't ever want to come home. You can help turn your school into a community school for excellence. Find out how. Call 1-877-LOVE-TO-LEARN.
Mrs. DeBruzzo, I'm here with the Neighborhood Watch. I'm signing up people for the Neighborhood Watch.
You made our dreams come true. You have your cameras here? Where are you going, Mr. McMahon?
I'm
going
to check with the lady next door.
Are you going to get the check?
Start a Neighborhood Watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest today is Judd Legum. He's the research director for the Center for American Progress. We're talking about, well, George Bush's approval rating is down to a new low, and the Republicans seem to be scrambling. We've got Tom DeLay, their leader, in effect. I mean, after all, he's the guy that put the Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, in power. He's out, having been indicted, and, well, it looks like the Republicans are in trouble. Do you think, by the way, that the Democrats are going to win some seats November 06?
Well, I think certainly the ball's in their court. They have a lot of advantages going for them. But ultimately, it's still a long way away from 2006. A lot can happen in that time. And I think there's a danger for them of kind of playing a wait-and-see game and then finding that 12 months later, it's a lot of different political environment than we're at today. So I think certainly the opportunity is there, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Let me ask you this, because it's probably something the Center for American Progress is involved in. As you well know, in 1994, the Republicans got all their a number of ideas together, put it together on the Contract for America. It turns out they violated virtually every one of those ideas, from fiscal conservatism to term limits, all of it. They didn't. But at least they put together an agenda. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I hear a lot of people criticizing the Democrats. They're saying, look, you know, Bush is a failure. The Republicans are a failure. They're big spending conservatives, wasting money on all kinds of things. But I don't hear the Democrats give an alternative. I don't hear, you know, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi aren't particularly strong speakers. Are you at the Center for American Progress helping the Democrats to do perhaps their own Contract for America?
Well, absolutely, as far as developing alternative policies. Now, we don't represent a political party, so we're speaking as progressives, not as Democrats. But we've got a health care plan to provide universal coverage for everyone. We've got a tax plan to make the tax system simpler, fairer, to give most people tax cut, but level out the system a little bit. And you can go straight down the line on a whole host of issues. Iraq, we've got a plan to how to draw down the troops in Iraq. So we have these things putting out. We're in contact with people in Congress. We're trying to get these ideas out there, and that's very much at the heart of the mission of the Center for American Progress.
Now, of course, with the House under the control of the Republicans and the Senate under the control of the Republicans, mm-hmm. and they got the presidency, they got most mm-hmm. of the Supreme Court, I think it's hard for the Democrats to have a unified voice. I mean, who do we look to? Do we look to Minority Leader Harry Reid or Minority Leader Harry Reid or Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi? Do we look to Howard Dean to give the Democratic perspective? One of the things that Newt Gingrich did, I think, very successfully in 1994, when the Democrats controlled the House, the Senate, the presidency, is he did coalesce his entire party around a single set of ideas. Do you see the Democrats actually doing a similar kind of thing, or do you think that, I don't know, two Democrats have three opinions?
Well, I think it's a process, and I think there's a difference between liberals and conservatives in that a lot of times liberals see things from a lot of different points of view, so that's a challenge. But I do think you are beginning to see the process, and that's part of what developing infrastructure like the Center for American Progress, like a lot of other really good organizations have come out in recent years, of getting that core of ideas that people can go around. So you have the Contract for America that Newt Gingrich came out with in 1994, but that was really a process that went on over many decades of getting the ideas, getting the message honed, so that when the time came, the opportunity came, they were able to seize it. So I think it's in the works. Could I say that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen by 2006? I'm not going to lie to you, Mark.
It should, Jed. Let me just put my plug in. It should, because I think it's very easy for people to vote against what the current administration, the current government is doing. I think the current government is failing its people on a wide variety of levels. We talk about it a lot here on the Inside Scoop. Mm-hmm. But I think people do need an alternative, and an alternative they can believe in. And so I do hope the Democrats get that vision thing under control. One thing I asked you before the break was about Harriet Myers and whether we could do worse. I mean, there clearly are people out there who are far worse. Harriet Myers is sort of unknown crony of the president. At the same time, we know people, Janice Rogers Brown, who believes that the New Deal is unconstitutional, that in fact we need to put those children back in the factories, get those 8-year-olds making our Nikes, and make sure that people can work the 90, 100-hour weeks that they used to work 100 years ago. There are people worse than Harriet Myers. Some are saying that the Democrats don't dare oppose her because we might get worse. How would you respond to those people?
Well, I think they have some sort of legitimate point, that if you look at Harriet Myers' history, you look at her writings such as they are, she hasn't written that much, you do see that there are some inklings that she may be a moderate on some issues, as far as diversity issues go, as far as gay rights are concerned. She has shown at least a couple of times that she's been slightly moderate. But at the same time, I think you're mostly right in that she's really an unknown. And so, yes, there are people that we know would be hardcore ideological conservatives that are ready to take the country back 50, 75, 100 years as far as where we've gone on a whole range of issues. But I think that doesn't mean that you just say, well, the best we can do is an unknown. I think that means you've got to go in there. You've got to ask tough questions. You've got to try to get a sense of her. If you can't get a sense of her, I think you should vote against her. And if you get a sense and it's a wrong sense, you should vote against her. But I don't think she should be, I don't think she should just be marshaled through because we know there's somebody worse.
Let me say that I agree with you. Yeah. I don't think that we should sort of negotiate from a point of fear. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the president may nominate Hitler, so therefore we have to accept this guy who's only half as good as bad as Hitler. I think that's the wrong way to think about it. I mean, this is what some say. It's not my personal view. I think you have to look at every nominee on the merits. She doesn't have a right to be on the Supreme Court. Most people who served one term as Dallas City Council member aren't even considered for the Supreme Court. And I think if the Democrats reject her, along with some Republicans, and a Janice Rogers Brown is nominated, or a Robert Bork-like figure, then I say use the filibuster. I think that America would understand because they're not that far to the right. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet and stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Judd Legum. He is the Research Director for Center for American Progress. Judd and I were just talking during the break about Harriet Myers and whether there are any good things about her. Judd had mentioned that she may be okay on gay rights or diversity issues. I'm not so sure I agree, Judd. On gay rights, my understanding is she supported the Texas sodomy laws, which basically would imprison all gay people for having sex, including oral sex. And that on diversity issues, my understanding is that she was kind of pushed up against the wall on this. There were some court decisions. There were some problems going on. Let's take them one at a time, I guess. First of all, on gay rights, how conservative is she?
Well, I think it's like many other questions, Mark. It's still an open question. I think if you go back and you look at some of the writing, some of the letters she wrote when she was president of the ABA in Texas, you can read into it. And certainly the right did and got very nervous that perhaps she's a little more tolerant on some of these issues than some of their favorites like Janice Rogers Brown. So does she have bona fides of being a real civil rights advocate on these issues? I don't think so, but could she perhaps be better than some of the other candidates that are out there, than a Michael Luttig or a J. Harvey Wilkinson or some of the other names you see kind of thrown around? I think there's some chance.
Let me ask you on diversity issues. My understanding was that there was almost like a riot in Dallas, that in fact a black city councilman that was killed by a police officer, and she sort of calmed down a crowd. And that is sort of shown to be, you know, that's her incredible, wonderful diversity thing. I mean, there was, I think, a court decision that was saying that there needs to be some minority districts in the state of in Dallas, which she agreed to. Maybe give us the details on that, because to me these sound like very timid steps toward diversity. They don't sound like great civil rights.
Right. Well, I think that's fair, and you're right that the law was involved and that she wasn't acting completely on her own accord. But to give her some credit, even when the law is involved, there's a way you can work with it and you can make sure that it gets implemented in the right way. And I think there's some evidence she went about and did that. Or you can push against it, as we've seen a lot of people in different positions of power around the country do as well. So I don't want to give the wrong impression. I'm not saying that these things, people should come home and do the takeaway that she's really good on these issues. I'm just saying that we were speaking to the issue earlier of our could you do worse, and I was just saying, well, there's some signs that, yeah, you might be able to do worse.
And these are the things that are scaring the right.
Exactly. And if you go on and read some of these right-wing columnists, go on the right-wing blogs and hear what they're saying about Harriet Myers, these are the things they bring up. And they point out that, you know, she's not a movement conservative. She doesn't see eye to eye on, with them on that. Whether or not they're right on that, I don't know, but it's certainly something to consider.
Toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can also comment on the weblog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Judd, it's interesting that this White House has been focusing so much on her religion, the fact that she's an evangelical Christian. I remember when John Roberts' religious views were brought up and the fact that his wife is the head of a pro-life anti-abortion organization, they said, well, you know, you can't go into his religious views. Religion is definitely not something that you can discuss. He will be the fourth Catholic on the court. But with Harriet Myers, it's let's talk her religion all the time. What's going on here?
Well, I think there certainly was a complete flip on this. They wanted to make John Roberts' religion off limits. Probably the right call, to be honest, and they argued forcefully on that with Roberts, a guy named Jay Sekulow, who's really one of the inside people, was really influential in picking both Roberts and Myers, went and said that. Really had the reverse with Myers, said that this is a real opportunity to get someone who shares our evangelical beliefs onto the court. So I think they've run into a problem with that. They suffered a lot of criticism on that. You see now, really over the weekend, starting today, they're shifting strategy. They're trying to emphasize her involvement with some constitutional issues while she was in the White House the last 5 years. They're trying to shift away from that, and I think it's because they realize it's really a snake pit for them.
But, I mean, they haven't explained the flip-flop. They just basically flip-flopped and then sort of trying to flip back quietly. I mean, they didn't say why they talked about her religion.
Well, I don't think they want to talk about the explanation, because the real explanation was they were using it because it suited their political purposes for Myers. They realized they were hurting for support. They were trying to appease people like James Dobson's of the world, and they thought, well, let's talk about her religion. She's a member of a very conservative church. Karl Rove got on the phone with James Dobson. They talked about it. That's the reason why, and they're not going to go into telling you that, but that's the truth.
But the president is, at least up until recently, been pretty good at controlling the media, or at least controlling the image that he wants on the media. I mean, after all, this is the guy who went before the ship. Mission accomplished. And they even turned the ship around so it didn't face the California coast, so people would think he was way out to sea. This is the guy who did all these town hall meetings in Social Security and purposely took anyone who disagreed with him and kicked them out and even arrested some of them. But apparently, it's wearing thin. Center for American Progress did an interesting story on his recent interview with U.S. troops that I thought you could tell us about.
Yeah, well, there was a very interesting photo op. We were in the office. We saw it on TV, where the president was in Washington talking to a number of troops in Tikrit, what was supposedly a freewheeling question and answer session. As we've seen before, the only problem is over the satellite feed, the networks, a lot of other media organizations caught a woman right before, who worked for the Defense Department, a press aide, coaching the troops on their answers, in her words, drilling through some of the questions. And it really kind of pulled the curtain back on what was going on, where it was trying to be presented to the American people as here's a very free exchange between the president and his troops. He's getting a report from on the ground, is how it was billed, when we saw it was captured on video that, in fact, this was being scripted by press flacks in the Pentagon, and it was being spoon-fed to the American people.
Now, wasn't Scott McClellan specifically asked about the scripting? What was his comment about it? I think he denied it at first, right?
Well, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not sure what you're trying to get at. That the troops were saying what they believed really wouldn't answer the question straight on. In the end, because it was caught on tape, the Pentagon had to admit what they were doing. They claimed it was because of the technical, you know, problems. There's a lot of stress on the troops in these kind of situations. They were trying to put them at ease. But I think that really strains credibility.
Now, what's interesting
point.
Is that the woman, that the press flack, if you will, the mm-hmm. defense aide that was giving all these questions, the one by the name of Allison Barber, mm-hmm. has just appeared on your site recently again with regard to a left-leaning talk show host who was going to do his show out for the troops. Tell us about that.
Well, Ed Schultz, who's really one of the top progressive hosts in the country, finally got an agreement, was told by Armed Forces Radio, which is the station that broadcasts out to hundreds of different stations out for troops abroad. They had an agreement to go on, balance out Rush Limbaugh on their Armed Forces Radio station. They were supposed to start this morning. Got a call from Allison Barber at 6 in the morning. I actually talked to his producer earlier today saying, well, nope, you're not going to go on the air. Really couldn't tell them why. Said her boss was out of town. Couldn't explain she was going out of town. One of the real coincidences here is just on Friday, Ed Schultz was on his show criticizing Allison Barber just for the incidents we were talking about earlier, the fact that she was coaching the troops. So there's at least an indication here this may be some retribution on behalf of Allison Barber.
She doesn't want to be criticized on
exactly.
Armed Forces Radio. But let me ask you this. Armed Forces Radio, which goes out to all mm-hmm. the troops,
yeah.
It would include the weather, I guess, sports mm-hmm. scores and mm-hmm. so forth, maybe the AP News, mm-hmm. is the only talk show host that goes out to American troops, Rush Limbaugh?
Well, certainly the only talk show host with a political bent. They've got a whole host of broadcasting, you know, CNN, World News, and
right.
Sports packaging. But the only political talk show is Rush Limbaugh. So this has been an issue for some time. You had Senator Harkin, who's been working on this issue, trying to get balance. It's something people have been working on for a very long time.
So basically, our government is purposely propagandizing our troops to support their agenda and not showing the other side with our taxpayer dollars. My taxpayer dollars is our funding Rush Limbaugh saying his lies to our troops. That's what's going on?
Certainly. It's all taxpayer funded, and it looked like they might do some balance, but right at the last minute, pulled the plug, so doesn't look like it's going to happen at this point.
If you want to call in, we've got a few minutes left. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma? Schmasthma. I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Where?
Don't swear when you're lying. I know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, Dad. Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
It is more than a trial by fire. It is a rite of passage. A challenge to join the elite. And if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just have a few minutes left if you want to call in 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. If we can show the blog on the screen, we have some comments. We have a comment by Mike. He writes, "All power is all corrupting, and after 5+ years of unparalleled control over the White House, Senate, and House, have the Republicans become arrogant and corrupted, or is the death of the independent investigator enabling legislation preventing a check and balance from occurring?" My view is that there are very few checks and balances, and that's one of the things that I, and I know Judd, try to provide, to try to give it, because Congress isn't investigating. In fact, the clearest example is probably the torture that went on in Guantanamo Bay. Congress refuses to investigate because they don't like what they're going to find. Hurricane Katrina, again, no independent investigation. They won't investigate. This is a Congress that under the Constitution is required to investigate what the executive branch is doing, and they're doing nothing of the sort. And so I think the only way to get that check and balance would be to elect a Democratic Congress. Judd, I don't know if you have a comment on that.
Well, I think absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head there, where Congress has really abdicated its responsibility on a whole host of issues. The other one that kind of sticks in my mind is WMD issues.
Sure.
And really getting down to, was the intelligence manipulated or not? They promised that they were going to do the investigation. Part two of the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee investigation never got around to it. So I think it's a real problem.
Right. They investigated how the CIA handled it, but they didn't quite get around to how the president and the vice president handled it, why they lied to us. And what's interesting is that you don't really know what goes on in the executive branch unless you have Congress out there checking and seeing what they're doing, and we just don't have that. It's interesting. Congress, of course, was controlled mightily by the hammer, Tom DeLay, the majority leader, who was just indicted and removed from office. And it's interesting because some of the things he supported, big government conservatism, spending billions and billions of dollars on corporate welfare, that may change now. I don't know. I know there's a new Republican proposal to cut Medicaid. They want to cut the runaway debt. So the first people they want to harm, I guess, are the poorest among us. Can you tell us about that, Judd?
Well, yeah, and it's really a tragedy because they were already planning, the Bush administration, before any of this had happened, to cut about $10 billion from Medicaid over 5 years. Some people on the hard right in the House of Representatives have another plan, and one of the key the core principles of this plan to pay for the Katrina reconstruction is to cut Medicaid even further. And the real tragedy about this is a time when more and more people who are displaced by Katrina are really relying on Medicaid to get the health care they need. It's a time we really should think about expanding, loosening up the rules a little bit so we make sure everybody can get care when they need it, especially the people displaced by the hurricane, and instead we're going in the opposite direction.
Right, so we build a bridge in Alaska for 50 people. We give huge hundreds of billions of dollars in corporate welfare to oil companies, but poor people who might die without health care, let them die. I mean, as Marie Antoinette would say of the poor people, let them eat cake. If they can't survive on their own without health care, who needs them? They're poor people. As Barbara Bush once said, they should be happy just to get a meal. You know, I mean, they should be fortunate that they're even getting a meal. Who cares if they lose their homes or their lives? What's interesting to me is that we do have runaway spending, but it's all being done on the backs of the poor. Judd, thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop telling us all about it. We've got a very interesting show coming up for the radio listeners. Tomorrow is Debate Tuesday with Jim Parmelee. He and I are going at it as usual on all the issues of the day. And then Wednesday, I've got an expert on the avian flu, Dr. Gil Smolin, who will tell you exactly what you have to fear. And then Thursday, Your right to vote is again in jeopardy. They are playing tricks again, Diebold, to take away your right to vote. And I got Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog coming on the show to talk about that. So tune in, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Mark Levine signing off.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
I have to get
in my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has changed the lives of millions of young people. It's kept them off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. Now, what could be that powerful and still fit in the palm of my hand? A membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife.
Oh, thanks
a lot.
Too
many people feel like they can't make a difference, but I'm telling you this. Put this card in the hands of a child, and you will change that child's life.
So do you do the? Do you only the TV and radio just one day?
It's up to all of us. Support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs. The positive place for kids.
For more information, to find out how you can support the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Mark, I'll see you tomorrow. 85-